This episode of Four Tims in a Podcast was brought to you by Manscaped. If you want to keep your below-the-waist grooming in tip-top shape, then go to manscaped.com and put in the code TRIM4TIMS and it'll get you 20% off and free shipping when you place an order with a discount code. And aye, we'd just like to give them a shout-out because they make these emergency episodes possible. Well, that and the fucking diabolical Celtic board. So, aye, let's get into it. Welcome to another episode of Four Tims in a Podcast. It's our first emergency podcast of the season. Can you believe it? We thought after the whole Eddie Howe fucking fuck up that this might have been avoided. And to be fair, Neil Lennon, we had to wait till August last year before we had to do one of these, but it's the 28th of July and Celtic have about 20 minutes ago just been papped out of the Champions League by Danish side Michelin. We took the lead. Piece of brilliance, individual brilliance from Cal McGregor to saw us take the lead. And then we're playing all right. James Forrest is an absolute sitter at 1-0 to Celtic, and about 60 seconds later the ball's in the net and it's one each. And ever since that moment I think everybody knew it was all over. The four A's are here tonight just to discuss it. So Tony, I know Danny's ranting the last episode got a lot of attention and a lot of credit, but usually when we have these emergency episodes you're the one that we go to for a mad rant. So 28th of July, Celtic are out of their first competition of the season. How do you feel?
Well, I'm no surprised. I'm not going to go on a big rant and say that I can't believe it, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody whatsoever. I mean, I genuinely thought we were going to be doing an episode like this last week. I thought that's when it would we would fuck it up. Obviously we get the draw. I says if we went out I wouldn't blame the manager. I don't. I know people been saying he could have made changes, but when he brought on Rogic and Adjeti, they done nothing. They couldn't do it, and he doesn't have the players at his disposal. The back line were exposed. That wasn't a surprise. Edward was a disgrace, I thought, the night. I thought he was terrible. I think on his day he's a great player, but it's not been his day for a long time, and I think it's obviously time we move him on. But I think the only people that are maybe surprised at this are the board, because they're fucking idiots. And Dermot Desmond. So no, I don't see how you can really rant and rave about the game itself. The board are a different thing altogether. I mean, I think we've thought that this has been coming, that a poor result would have come eventually due to the lack of reinforcements in the transfer window. But it's all relative to what we've been talking about for nearly 2 years now. We gone for Rodgers to Lennon, and then no sacking Lennon and keeping Lawwell, and these are the guys that have kind of ruined Celtic Football Club and taking us back a long way. Desmond and Lawwell more so than Lennon, as much as obviously Lennon played his part. He was allowed to ruin the team because of guys like Lawwell and Desmond. So the only one left, well, I guess Lawwell still gets some kind of role, which he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have anything to do with the club whatsoever. That guy, he's done ridiculous damage. I mean, you look at the last 10 years, Maribor, Mulder, Ferencváros, Cluj, AEK Athens, New Midland. They join a long list, a dross that have papped us out the Champions League, even if you look back at Legia Warsaw, Sion and Braga and Utrecht. I mean, there's so many of these games that we go into unprepared and we get beat by clubs half a quarter the sizes. So I don't understand it. It's kind of the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And we do it every year with these games. We should be planning for next year's qualifiers now. And we should have, as soon as Ferencváros put us out last season, we should have made plans in place for the qualifiers this season. But it's typical Celtic, really. As he says, bit of brilliance for McGregor. I thought he was okay. I thought Christie was okay again. I think Sorrow's needing some better management. I think he's too lackadaisical on the ball. I think thinks he's got far too much time. And his tackling's rash. He just looks as if he's going to get numerous bookings. Defence, I thought Ralston was okay for what he is. But as much as he was okay, he's still not the right back the manager wants. As much as maybe okay in defence, he can't bomb forward and do the things that Postecoglou demands for his system. So it's pointless. I mean, Bain, he's shite as well. See what like for Joe Hart, if that's who we want, and that's who Ange wants, and I would take it just now because, I mean, the decision to drop Barkas tells me his kid time at Celtic's done. And I don't think anybody would be that fussed about it because he doesn't even look like a goalkeeper. But no, I think it's a board. I mean, all the eyes should be in getting rid of this board. And I do like the manager. It's not a case of the board and sacking the manager. It's just that the board are just uselessly, just so stupidly underprepared. I mean, we must be the only club in world football to have a majority shareholder who's a billionaire and fucking daft. I mean, that's incredible. A billionaire that's fucking daft. But I don't really have anything else to add. I mean, that was the name of our episode, was it last week? Fail to prepare, prepare to fail, and we have failed. And this game was for me about winning, and then I think PSV would have beat us because they're a better side, and you could have accepted it. But it was about winning and guaranteeing Europa League football, which is still crucial, which is still good. I quite enjoyed the Europa League. We've been competitive in it quite a few times, but instead we've ballsed it completely, and now we're at real danger of maybe not even playing any sort of European football, because there's no guarantees against Jablonec. So, and then we've went to extra time just before we need to go to Tynecastle now, which is a massive game because we've got a league title to at least try and compete for. But no, that's my kind of overall thoughts. So all the blame for me rests on the board, and I think they should all resign, and I think Desmond should share his majority holding to somebody that actually gives a shit.
Danny, some strong words from Tony there. This is, I don't think any is a surprise. I know Celtic played all right last week, especially in the first half, but I think sort of this is just like bearing the fruit of what happens when you wait 4 months on Eddie Howe and then he turns around and knocks you back. And you appoint Ange on June the 10th, had his isolation and stuff, and then somehow we still went into our Champions League qualifier with a backline of Scott Bain, Anthony Ralston, Stephen Welsh, Dane Murray and Greg Taylor. It's just completely unacceptable how unprepared we were. And I seen somebody say on Twitter, do you know what, see in about 3-4 weeks when we actually get a finger out of our ass and make a few signings, we'd probably look back and say, oh, we would have won that tie now. But it's just yet again completely unacceptable from the club.
Yeah, you're completely right. I echo everything Tony said. I don't think the blame can lie with Postecoglou. I think it's firmly on the board. But when you say about Eddie Howe, I mean, the time we took to wait on Eddie Howe, if he would have took the job, he'd be in the exact same fucking position that we're in the now. So with the time it was taking that, you know, maybe he would have come in and brought 3 or 4 boys up for Bournemouth. But if you look at that squad, it needs to be on 3 or 4 players. With miles off it. And the better team, all the tie, went out. But the better run club went through, and that speaks volumes for just how badly run Celtic are. And I text you at half time saying we were comfortable, maybe even a wee bit too comfortable in this game. But, you know, I don't want to criticise young boys that are playing for Celtic like Dan Murray, who I think will be a player and a half for us. And I tell you what, the boys get ball and he's get buzz, but he was found wanting at the crucial moments, which isn't his fault. Never in a million years did he expect to play in their games. But just look at that defence keeper we were left with to go into that game. A boy from last year, Welsh, who, all right, he looked better as he's running the team went on, but he was flung in because he wasn't as bad as Shane Duffy. And then Taylor, who I think he's an all right defender, but you know, to go in with that back five, I'm not going to get through him because it'll just anger me, but to go into that tie with that back five and then change your keeper, you know, but then saying all that, well, we're through. Forrest just does the easy thing and scores. He's trying to be too clever and go back across your keeper. Thought he was pathetic when he came on. I don't think he did the right thing once. I don't think he made the right choice on the ball once. But, you know, that was a disaster that we walked straight into, and willingly walked straight into by the looks of things. And it's just, it's hard to find any crumb of comfort. You know, you said there, or maybe in a couple of months when we get a team together, we'll look back and say we beat Midtjylland. But we done that against Cluj 2 years ago, and look what it fucking got. It's put out against Copenhagen. It's just, it's very hard to be positive about Celtic now, because last week when we watched the game, I was buzzing in the group chat we use. I was like, this is brilliant. Look at what he's getting them today. I mean, if you listen back to last week, you just hear it's buzzing. And even though we predicted this very outcome, it's hard. I'd rather they get beat 3-0 than actually go out to that mediocre shower of shite that have put us out. I mean, that's a team full of oddballs, and they play Coldplay when they score. So, I mean, that's mortifying for Celtic. But I genuinely don't think anything will shame Desmond into making any decisions. He probably makes a fair whack, you know, insignificant to him maybe, but he probably makes decent interest off of Celtic shares. He's getting the interest in actually running a football club. He just wants to turn up whenever he wants and turn up with cup finals and look good and, don't know, maybe spread the Celtic message when he's out playing golf with fucking the next celebrity. But this is a club that's in turmoil. It's a bad, bad way. And the manager's currently been hung out to dry because for everybody saying that they don't hold him responsible, that's not going to last forever. You're going to get to a point where it'll be, oh, he's got to go on with what he's got now. But he's got nothing. He's got absolutely nothing. What was he meant to do the night? Like, the subs? You're looking for a spark. You're looking for a bit of energy and he brings Tom Rogic on. I'm sorry, it's just, he's been hung out to dry by an incompetent board.
Andy, I'll just get your first thoughts on the game as well. And just one thing I want to bring up, just with Danny finished on there. Do you think a few people have been having a go at Ange? And I know even when we were talking in a group chat, we were saying, oh, he needs to change it. But with that sort of Ange sort of making a point to the board that this is the shit that, as Danny said, he's been dealt the worst possible hand. And was he just proving that by how reluctant he was to go use bench tonight? Because the first 11 didn't look good enough. And I think the fact that it took so long for most of the players that did come off the bench to come off the bench sort of spoke volumes. What did you think of it, Andy?
I think there's probably a massive factor. He looks at the bench and doesn't trust any of them to make a difference in the game. He looks at them and it's, I said to you, so I wonder if that is a statement. And there's obviously people going, oh, make subs and make subs. That's easy to say when you've got somebody on the bench who could impact the game. And he's not got it. He doesn't have the players at his disposal to do that on the game itself. And pretty much the same. I can't find it in me to blame the manager in any way, shape or form because he's not been given the tools to do his job. He's in a boxing ring with one arm tied behind his back. What yet again, being an incompetent boardroom. And it was just, there was empty jerseys over the team. It was just a bit of a shit show. Edward just, I don't fucking know what's happened to him. I refuse to believe he's even, it's just no interest. I've no idea. I don't want to talk about Edward. It was just annoying me watching him. I don't know how somebody can look as if they're fucking lost about 15 yards of pace. Forrest could have put us through, but again, I find it even hard to be angry at him because that was probably like his fucking first touch of a ball and God knows how long after a stupid amount of time at an engine. It shouldn't have came down to, oh, if we scored this one chance. It shouldn't have came down to a wee daft fine margin like that. It's been a build-up over a fucking long period of time, but it's the board. When did Lennon leave the club? February or something? All that time. What did we do? Listen, we were all happy. We made a couple of quid after John Kennedy or the rest of it. But that happened because we knew exactly what the board were going to do. And the answer is fucking nothing. The bare minimum, because they don't give a flying fuck. As long as they can sell their nice wee jerseys and fucking sell season tickets and rip the arse out every fucking cunt, us included, who'll pay it, they'll do it. And that's exactly what they've done. Tony listed them earlier. Fucking shite like Cluj, Maribor, Fenish Faros and fucking Midland partners us out. Like, if we went through to the next round and we had a couple of bodies in and we played, I would never mind. Like, PSV, I'd have been disappointed to go out, but you look at them, you're in a fucking really good side. That's a tie that could go either way. But getting put out of shite like this, and it's not just a one-off, it's the same fucking shite all the time. And it's just lack of preparation, lack of having any form of ambition. And somebody mentioned the size of clubs earlier on. And it's, I wouldn't even mind. Listen, sometimes clubs like that and clubs who are slightly smaller will get a right good fucking team of players together and they will, do you know what I mean? They will go on good runs in Europe and you go, sometimes you just need to hold your horns up. But they were fucking shite. They were absolutely dreadful. And they put us out, which is embarrassing. There's no other way to describe it other than just fucking downright embarrassing. That back five, the four defenders and the goalkeeper is I never ever thought I'd see a Celtic team play a competitive game of football with a defence and a goalkeeper like that. It's by far and away the worst I've seen. The extra time shown was probably the worst half hour of Celtic football I might have ever been subject to in my life. It looked like players disinterested. It looked like players just not even professional football players. It was dreadful. Utterly dreadful, but it just all stems from one place, and it's the Celtic boardroom. That's it. There's no other way around it. It's just a boardroom who refuse to take any action. They've had the fucking piss ripped out of them by Eddie Howe, just sitting, telling them he's waiting his wee buddies coming up from down south, and then they're scrambling about last minute trying to get Ange in. He obviously has asked for fucking signings because he doesn't trust any of the diddies that he's been left with. Doesn't get any of them. And then he has to go into a fucking one of our most important games of the season, which we know every single year come up at the start of the season. The fucking diddies at the back. I don't understand it and how people commit. And there will be people who will defend it and they'll be looking to blame the manager and whatever, but it's just fucking bonkers. And we need to hold them to account. Like, it's the only way to do it. The fans need to make themselves known that this can't carry on anymore. Like, if you're really under that interested, Desmond, fucking get rid of your shares. As it was said, gear them to some cunt who gives a flying fuck.
No, I think you've touched on a lot of good points, Leah. As we said, we predicted this weeks ago, and we didn't want to be right, we won. Like, you were sort of... It would have looked fantastic for Ange if he had been able to somehow get us through this tie and guarantee us some sort of European football. And do you know what? Danny's right. We were one poor decision away from actually going 2-0 up when James Forrest tries to be too fucking clever as usual. And then, like, it's just... I've never been a fan of James Forrest, but hey, I thought he was terrible tonight. I'm just raising everybody, like, because Andrew's probably the only person that I'm not directing anger at, because Sutton called it out on Twitter. He's been dealt the worst hand in probably Celtic's managerial history. He's just been left to just try and create miracles with what he's got. And the back four, like, I know, see, Guillaume Stuart Alston was fucking competent tonight, but that's not the point. The fact that you're still getting in there with him, like, it's the equivalent of throwing money us in with gear on. You know what, Ralston does gear, so it's not his fault that he's fucking playing at right back. But the fact that we sold our two right backs in January and nobody at the club thought to replace them, like, I know Ange was out saying that he didn't want to rush into the wrong signing, but that was unacceptable having that. And I actually thought we looked all right just until there was a cross played along the box and Bain absolutely flapped at it and I went through him. And it sort of, I think it just sort of reminded the defence that they didn't have a keeper they could trust. I know there's been a lot of talk about Joe Hart today, and we've even had a debate as well about who would take him, who wouldn't they. But at this point, it doesn't matter if you're fucking Joe Hart, Brett the Hitman Hart, Miranda Hart, Kevin Hart. You've fucking got to be better than what we've got playing and goal for us now, because it's unacceptable. We need some sort of experienced keeper who we can actually rely on, because it's like, you know what, the worst thing about it is this team's actually probably a solid defence away from actually being capable of doing something. And we need to, do you know what, as much as we spoke about, oh, would it be the worst thing if Edward just seen down his contract and then we just let him go on a free next year? But it's well past that point now. He looked absolutely terrible tonight. He just looked a yard off everything. And the fact that I couldn't believe he was on the pitch for as long as he was, I thought it was completely unacceptable. We knew we needed to cash in for whatever we could get on him and let Ange fucking bring people in. Because although Champions League's gone, as Wanny said earlier, we've got a league that we need to at least compete in. We didn't compete last year, and he knew that game that we've been looking forward to for weeks against Hearts on a Saturday night at Tynecastle, that knew it looked like some massive task that we need to go there and win. Whereas that's Hingley, that's a newly promoted team. You should be expecting to, like, go there and win comfortably. But now that looks like a tricky tie, and I know Tynecastle's always a tricky place to go, but in that current state, we should have been gone there fully prepared. I know, I think the only difference might be Starfelt might be there, but it's still no good enough. I'm absolutely furious. And Tony, I know you went on about the board for quite a bit, but what went wrong on the pitch? I know Danny's obviously put up James Forrest and that, but where did it go wrong for us altogether?
We can't defend for full games. We can't hang on to leads because our defence is inexperienced. The first goal, free header just outside the 6-yard box. See the thing is with that header, see if you had a world-class keeper or a very good keeper like Foster, you might have a chance of saving it. Don't get me wrong, that goal is in no way Bain's fault, but I feel as though I never see any keepers making the saves Foster used to make. See ones where you go, fuck, that shouldn't, you'd need right to save that. These keepers don't make these saves, and you need that. Rangers have got that, for example. They've got Alan McGregor, and he'll win them points this season, as he's done for a long, long time. So that's where you start. The goalkeeper isn't exceptional, but he wasn't the main issue. His distribution was shocking, but Greg Taylor, I think's piss poor. Just his SPFL Kilmarnock standard. Murray and Welsh are okay. Again, I wouldn't want either one starting in the league for us. And Ralston, we've discussed. Thought Sorrow was quite poor, really clumsy and lackadaisical, as I says. Thought McGregor was good in spells. Thought Chris did a lot of good energy, but he didn't have much to work with. Edward, garbage. Abada, I thought, was okay. And then Forrest could have got a hat-trick and fucked it up. So I just think it's the defending for the second goal. I mean, that guy gets so many touches in just about a 6-yard box as well before putting it wherever he wants in the net. So, and then, as I say, there was nobody in the bench, and it all reverts back to the state of fucking, what do you call it? The board. I can just see yous all flashing up as something came up for the manager you want to tell us about.
Aye, so we're just, we're recording pretty soon after the game, and apparently Ange has come out and says that he doesn't feel that people at the club have understood how light the squad is. And do you know what? Ange has been great for his honesty, and that's exactly what he needs to say. And completely, you had a yes man there last season and the season before who wouldn't have come out and say that and would just say, oh, well, it's been a great transfer market. But I'm just, I don't know about you, Danny, but if that's what Ange is saying, which is what we'll like to believe, that's just exactly, he needs to take it to them and actually stick it to them.
Plus, I've got money on Kennedy taking us at 10 kids when it's a hard day for you, man. Oh, you're quite, done a Frank Lampard there. No, you're quite right there. I just think, I love Ange for his honesty. I love his honesty so far. It's great to see. Because, you know, Lennon would have come out and said something about the board are great, treble, treble, quadruple, treble, nine in a row, blah, blah. So it's good that he's honest about it. And do you know what? I thought his comments about Lee Griffiths on Saturday, not to get back into it before anybody starts, but I thought he put Griffiths out there to get booed. I thought he knew that reaction was coming. I thought that's what his comments were. And obviously his comments there, if that is what he said, then he's quite right. And he's telling the board. And to be honest, the guy probably feels a bit of a daft anyway. He probably feels like he's been sold a dummy by the powers that be. He was smart enough to know that he wasn't Celtic's first choice, but he's probably sitting wherever he is now on his way back to Glasgow thinking, here, do you know Eddie Howe may have a point here? Probably feels a bit of a dick, to be honest, the dummy that he's been sold by the Celtic board. And you can't blame him for what's been happening. And it's look at the way they did the Furuashi transfer. It was so quick, nobody knew anything about it. In fact, they probably still wouldn't have tweeted it, and if Vassell Kobe hadn't tweeted it out, but the guy needs players. He needs, you know, we could not put a team out, and these are our biggest games of the season, and we could not put a competent team out for two games. That's just, it's a disgrace, and the guy, he's got every right to shoot his mouth off at anybody. He should come out and just have a fucking go at them. And maybe then they'll listen, because, you know, I've said it before, but what will shame this mob into actually doing something decent? I mean, it took an unmitigated disaster, which got even... Neil Lennon only got to keep the job because he was going for a treble. They put his own ego and his CV over the needs of Celtic Football Club, and it's still costing us, you know, to the day. And nobody there is fit. Mackay could maybe... He's only been there, but, you know, has he started yet? People come up, he's started. His start date changes every time something goes wrong at Celtic. But you could maybe give him a pass this year and say things better improve with him, but the rest of them should actually, if they didn't about them, they would resign and let... No, I'm not meaning fans. You don't want fans on, no. It's not like get fans in the board and fans take... No, just get people in that know what they're fucking doing for a start. That would be an improvement. Get people in with fit my brains. No jobs for the boys. Just get people in there that actually know how to negotiate a transfer before it turning into a disaster. Every time you see Celtic's name linked with Twitter, if it's that Fabrizio Romano guy, or if it's journalists in other countries, they're always saying things like Celtic want A, B want 2.8 million for A, so Celtic have offered 1.5 million. It's the same all the time. They don't just go out and say, oh, do you want that? Right, that's the going rate. But we're good enough at fucking hodding out and hodding out for big transfer fees for our players. It's a joke. But they should all go and just be replaced with people that don't have a bowling club mentality.
Aye, completely. I think especially, like, I know everybody thought that when Lowell announced that he was stepping down, that would be it. But as was mentioned earlier in the episode, he started the fucking club, and people come out and say, oh, Peter's still here because he's part of this European commission, he's part of this executive. But the fact is that fucking for the vast majority of Desmond and Lowell's time, especially Lowell, we have regressed in Europe so far. Like, we went through 2004 when we beat Barcelona in the UEFA Cup to, we've never won a knockout tie since. So what is it helping Celtic him being on these European committees? He's still at the club, he's still a toxic influence. I think he needs to get the fuck as well. Like, that's yet another Champions League campaign that Celtic have absolutely, like, no gave themselves a chance in. And look, the route we would have had, it was always going to be tough, but to go in this manner is unacceptable. And Andy, where do we go in Europe now? I know we'll play Jablonec from the Czech Republic. The away leg will be next Thursday and the home leg the following Thursday. But I'm just reading the Moravchik 67, who's always excellent for this type of information on Twitter. He says that it's not just a case of winning that time, you'll get in the Europa League group. We'll then go on Monday, we're going into a draw for the Europa League playoff where we'll play either AZ Alkmaar, Fenerbahce, Zoraya, Antwerp, Sturm Graz or Randers. But like, that's going to be really tough. Like, I don't know enough about the teams, but are they going to be much worse than what we came up against tonight? And Michelin were a pretty average team who put us out in the end. As you said, the extra time shown was one of the most pitiful things I've ever seen. So there's every chance that one of these teams is going to put us out in that playoff as well, Andy. What do you think?
I think where we go is we could quite possibly be, I don't know if somebody else has done it before, but quite possibly one of the first teams to ever get knocked out of Europe three times in a season. Because I think obviously Moravchik 67 also posted that we would get a seeded off for a Conference League playoff. And let's be honest, most teams will look at us and say, we can score against them. You can score goals against us. We went into that game and we knew we had to score more than one goal, and that's just never a place to be. Again, in any football game, at 1-0, we all said the same. No, need another. Even two, even eight. If that game was 2-0, I still probably wouldn't have felt confident at any point. But God knows. I genuinely don't know. You know what Celica are like. They would have been holding it. If we qualified for that game and guaranteed Europa League football, it probably meant X, Y, and Z was coming in, or we would offer £5 more. I genuinely don't know, because I think all the teams look at us, look at our performances, or the two legs, and say, you know, they're there to be got at. Because let's be honest, they're Celtic, and when have they ever went and solved their problems in the transfer market when they need to? I genuinely can't remember the last time we went into a fucking... It's just not even the full team. It's always the fucking defence as well. Every single fucking year, it's like, right, we need X, Y, and Z for the defence. No, just doesn't get sorted. Don't replace players, and it just rings true. It's a worry because it's, you know, say, like we won't spend money unless we've got some form of money coming in.
It's all right, Andy Delmitt's taking a hands-on approach this time.
Well, wish he'd take a hands-on approach and fucking fuck himself right out the door. But I just don't get it because ultimately that's where we're at, Dan, because we will not go out and speculate to accumulate. It does not happen. The board probably done their usual, like somebody says earlier, if they were fit bombing, they would have known fucking fine well. It was nothing but arrogance getting into that game, thinking that squad was enough to get by them. Just sheer and utter arrogance thinking that. Like you say, I hope Angie's comments are true. I really fucking do hope that is what he said. Hope, obviously, with the interview come out soon, hopefully while we're still on air in the next couple of minutes. But it's got to come for somebody like him in that position to call them out and call a bluff, because it's a fucking disgrace. There's no other word to describe it other than a fucking disgrace, and we really are in danger of getting popped right out of the Europa League as well.
Hi, come on, you go.
We've been put out of Europe 3 times before in one season. Ronnie Dyler managed that, but carry on.
Aye, that was the infamous Legia thing, wasn't it? Aye, but I don't know. Like, I brought it up earlier, Tony. To quote last season's famous phrase, was that the last dance for Edward tonight? Will he be away? I know there's been a lot of talk linking him with Brighton. Is it finally time that he will get his move away from Celtic?
I would think so, but again, I don't know what the hold-up is there. 20 million for a guy the last year of his contract's good business. So I don't see why we would keep him. No, I've just listened to everything you were saying. It's spot on. I mean, I was looking at who we could end up facing in even the Conference League, and there's no gimmies. I mean, we could genuinely go to Europe here. And that's the thing. I mean, I have to add, I thought Midtjylland were fucking piss poor. I think they're a bad, bad team. I think PSV would have been laughing whoever they got. They must be looking really forward to playing them. They were a shit team who were soundly beaten by Rangers a couple of years ago, and I think that's when they were even better. But see, the thing is, I mean, as we say as recently, Ange's been a manager for 2 months. See, when he came in, see if he'd have went right back, left back, centre half, and a striker. These are my 4 targets. This is who I've been looking at. Can we get them in before the Champions League game? But instead, the board have gambled and thought, oh, well, again, as Andy just says, arrogance. Aye, we'll get past Midtjylland on who's spending any money. Instead, we've once again blown the chance at mega millions for the 4th year in a row through complete negligence. So it's infuriating. It's really silly. It doesn't make any real sense why you would be so determined to not play in the Champions League every season. Even under Rodgers, we were quite underprepared for his first season as well. We were quite lucky to get through over in Beersheba. We hung on for dear life there. So it's stuff like that. I mean, the board are just complete idiots. And Dan's just, have you just put something in the chat? I obviously haven't done a good enough job of convincing people we need players in. The manager's words post-match. If that's true, then he's fucking spot on. But it doesn't look good, obviously, if he's already fighting with the board. But it is better than somebody coming out and going, oh, Mr. Desmond and Mr. Lawwell, they've done so much. I mean, fuck that. At least this guy's honest. That's what I do like about him. I like that he's honest. So I think all eyes are now on Dominic Mackay. He is the chief executive. He's been in for a fair bit of time now. He needs to provide answers. It's not up to Postecoglou to answer why we've not got a right back since Frimpong left. It's up to the people at the club. Now, Mackay must know who signed John Joe Kenny. He must know who sanctioned that deal. He must know why we've not signed a right back. He must know a lot of things that obviously we're not privy. Come out and tell the fans. The fans demand answers. The fans have backed Celtic as they do every season with season ticket with merchandise. We all say throughout the season we're going to do this, that and the next thing. But at the end of the day, we back them and they've thrown it back in their face, as can happen with football. Celtic have a habit of doing it at this time in the season. So I think big questions needs to be answered. Like guys like Ian Bankier, the chairman, who went to a press conference with Mackay and Postecoglou and didn't speak. That's the chairman of the board. I mean, guys like this, you can't get rid of these guys quick enough for me. But there you go. I mean, if we'd have spent, I'd say, a couple of million on a few decent players who were better quality than what we had, we could have easily beat Midtjylland because they're a poor team. But instead, what you've done is create a really negative atmosphere, get into the season opener, which is going to be a tough game. And already it's all about sack the board as opposed to the board going, no, we're actually going to be competent for a change. And it just, the atmosphere around the club becomes toxic again. The good thing is, though, the board can't put up big fences and phone the police because the fans are actually getting back into the stadium. So no doubt that will lead to demonstrations and protests. I mean, I think I speak for the pod when we agree with when the Green Brigade and guys like that come up with protests. I mean, I thought when they were putting photos of the board up and people said, oh, we don't even know who they are. I think that was the point when they were doing the kind of 100 days thing. So I think you'll see stuff like that. And I feel terrible for Ange because I think if he'd Starfelt and Furuhashian a wee bit earlier and the right back were chasing, we would have beat this mob and we'd been positive and everything would be looking good. But we fanny about, we don't know how to get transfers done efficiently. And this is where we are. I'm sure there'll be loads of other podcasts recording stuff just like this and people are going mad on Twitter. And it's just so unacceptable. And for me, I think Celtic could be such a really, really well-run club. And I think we can get back to doing the things we used to do when it was kind of competing in Europe and actually playing your Man United's, your Juventus, your AC Milan's, taking them to task. I think if we put proper structures in place, we can be like a Salzburg, for example, an Atalanta. These teams that are really well-run, that aren't they big clubs, obviously we're much bigger than these clubs, but they're well-run and they've got good systems in place. We don't have a director of football. We don't have a scouting department that's any good. We're just lacking in so many areas, the club-wide. And I touched on it the last episode. Mackay was talking about being world-class. There is not one aspect of Celtic that's world-class apart from the fans, as far as I'm concerned. So, again, it's kind of deja vu for us. We've done it all before, and I don't know if I can be arsed in another season of just fucking moaning and complaining about assholes who couldn't care less. These guys that are multi-millionaires that just take my money and I just give them it every year because I've got a love to the club that I can't get ready and I don't want to get ready. So I've got no time for the cunts on the board. I would love them all to resign and never come back to the stadium. And I would like us to get real people in who, I think Danny says, they don't need to be Celtic men. See if they're competent people. I couldn't care less as long as these guys, whoever comes in, is good at their job and knows what they're doing and knows football and can start putting proper structures in place. But for me, just a long list. This just goes to a long list of European disasters that the Celtic love to have. So I don't really have anything else to add.
I think we've ranted for quite a while, so we'll just have a quick look to Saturday because I don't think we're going to be up for a full preview Hearts by then, but we'll get a go to now. Danny, how big is Saturday now? As I said, on paper it's against a newly promoted team, so it should be a relatively easy game, but everything that's happened in the last few weeks and months for Celtic, it doesn't look too easy, and it's just, it goes without saying, we just can't afford it to drop anything in Edinburgh when we go, because the state of this team at the now, they just can't afford to be playing catch-up.
No, it's a massive, massive, massive game, as they all are, but Tynecastle away is always the game that a lot of Celtic fans look forward to. It's always a game on the calendar that when the fixtures are announced, you always look, when away at Ibrox, when away at Pittodrie, when away at Tynecastle, 8 o'clock on a Saturday. It's a perfect occasion, should we say, for the first game of the season. But it is already massive. We can't really afford, I know it's only one game, but you can't afford to play catch-up because you, look what happened last year. I'd fully expect them to hammer Livingston Saturday morning, and then it's down to us. So, do you know, I think I've seen enough going forward for us that we could, we'll beat Hearts. I don't think... I know I said we might be need to score 4 goals this season to win a game, but I don't... This could be famous last words, but I don't see many teams in Scotland, apart from maybe one or two, actually exposing their defensive eye that Michelin did. Hearts have got Liam Boyce, who, if he can be up for it, is a decent poacher, but he's not really great. They probably score now, but I think we'll beat Hearts, but the problems, you know, need to get fixed before... because we're doing what we did last year, and you're starting to live game to game, where, you know, by we can't really get to a stage where, like, going to Ibrox at the end of August, we need to be level, at least. Or, because if they beat us and we need snookers, then you're living game by game again, whereas it's just fucking, it's a shite way to go through a season, and I'm not really up for doing it again.
I mean, my one worry is, Andy, the fact that I know where Danny's coming from when he says that he doesn't think there's too many teams in Scotland that will take a number of goals off us, but my worry is that when we last played Hearts, we conceded 3 to them. Aye, all right, one of them was in extra time, but our defence that day was Christopher Ayer, Christopher Julian, Shane Duffy and Greg Taylor. So, can any Saturday, Andy, is our defence is undoubtedly probably going to be weaker than it was that day.
I think it is. I don't really see how anybody can really disagree with it. Mixture of inexperience, just not being good enough to play for Celtic, and they two coupled together, it's not a fucking good combination. I don't know if I really agree with Danny saying it doesn't think. I mean, if that's your defence, obviously Starfelt's coming in, which I confess to knowing too much about him. But I'd hope that he's not going to be any worse than either of the two centre-halves that played tonight. And obviously Julian's still a couple of months away from what I gather. I can only assume your backline or your two centre-halves then for until Julian's back fit, because I really don't see us signing another one, because we're Celtic, and that would be a fucking ludicrous thing to suggest, signing another centre-half. But you would assume it's going to be Welsh and Starfelt playing. Not really seen much links with many left backs. They are a hard time to come by, don't get me wrong, but again, don't even know if it's a priority for us. You can assume Greg Taylor's going to play. So maybe a different right back, but again, is that something that's going to fall through now that we're no guarantee of Europe, so we could be a couple more games in with Ralston there. Nah, you might have been all right tonight, but that's the thing, I'm hearing pass marks, but pass marks doesn't justify playing for Celtic and being the right back for Celtic. So, one guy doesn't change that entire back line. And again, a goalkeeper. Is the Joe Hart deal? Are we going to pay their wages now for no guaranteed European football? All these things come into it. And I think, regardless, there's going to be a transition period of players getting up to speed, players wanting... obviously learn on how the manager wants to play football. And I just think teams across the board and in the league are going to look at us and think, there we got it. Like we can score against Celtic, no bother at all. Put pressure on us. You've clearly seen it against Michelin, what they were doing, done it in the first leg as well, just crowding and tapping the keeper because they know all three keepers are fucking shitebags. And again, this the defenders in front of him are they much better, so I just see that happening across the board. I mean, there's a lot of fucking hammer throws in Scottish football, and I can just already see a lot of players in that team shying away from it when the opposition show they're up for a fight. It's something that needs rectified promptly, and the only way you're going to do that is bringing in football players, and competent ones at that. But as for the game against Hearts, I'm hoping that we can score goals. We had chances tonight to score a couple of goals, and I do think, I mentioned it to you before, there's going to be quite a few periods of kamikaze football, particularly at the start of the season, where we're just going to go and score more goals than you, and I really do think that's what we've got today. for the time being. I would probably assume as well that Yeti will start up front instead of Edward. I think he's almost certainly away. Maybe he'd have hung about to get us through or try and get us through the next round or something, but I think almost certainly now, given the uncertainty that we need to win two ties, he's for the Europa League, he's promised almost certainly away. So I'm suspecting a lot of kamikaze football, and both teams to score will probably be on for me most weeks.
Aye, Tony, I'll just take a quick preview and prediction for Hearts from you. I know Andy and Danny have covered it, and I know our listeners will be struggling to keep up with all this misery we're piling on, but how do you see Saturday going?
It'll be a tough game. I think we're unprepared for that as well. Starfield doesn't know any of the players he's going to come in. He's not really had any chance to train, which puts him at a bit of a disadvantage. Are we going to have a new goalie in? If we're stuck with A2 that we've got, definitely chance of conceding. Is a new right-back going again? Is he going to have time? Ralston, I'm sure most players in Scottish football fancy their chances against him. I think it'll be a struggle. Is Edward going to be going? Are we going up front with a Jetty who doesn't even look like a football player? Is it going to be Griffiths up front? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think it'll be a really hard game for us. And I think we need bodies at ASAP. We need bodies that can contribute, because if nobody's in by the end of this week, you're then unprepared for Jablonek. And I kind of be asked talking about that, actually. I'm getting ahead of myself. I think we'll draw one each. And that's my honest prediction, I guess, as honest as I can be. I know it's negative as fuck, but it's just this board and their absolute how fucking useless they are makes me think that there's a strong possibility we won't actually have the team we want for Saturday. So we'll go with one each.
Hey, Danny, that was the first prediction. I know you've already gave us your preview, but what's your prediction for the scoreline on Saturday?
3-1 Celtic, and I think Starfelt will score, Fury Ash will score, and Fury Ash will get two, actually. We'll be nervy, Hartsley. We'll score early, Hartsley collides, then we'll pull away and sent off.
Andy, same to you. We've heard your preview. What's your prediction?
3-2 Celtic.
Oh, that's what I was going to say as well, actually. I was going to go for a 3-2. I'll go for 4-2 then. I don't want to add too much to what user says. I completely agree. I think, you know what, it might benefit Starfield, the fact he's not had to play with that defence for any matter of time, because it's a bit like when Lacks out first came in, he didn't catch any bad habits for a wee while. But I think even with 4,500 in Tynecastle, like, it's not the 15,000 to 20,000 that you usually get it there. Well, they're right on top of you, but I'm sure they'll make some amount of noise. And with the away support, the Celtic players will definitely know they're at an away ground for once. But I just think Celtic have got a lot of quality going forward, and hopefully we can just go there and not concede too many. And I'll go for 4-2 as well. I think a Jetty will score, and I think Abada will get a couple. Who knows, he'll get the other one. That'll probably be us until after the game on Saturday. Just keep an eye out on our Twitter. We're planning one of the Twitter space things. I mean, if Celtic lose, we might just chuck the podcast completely. But at this point, we are looking at doing that on Saturday night. Sort of similar to the phone-in, apart from it'll be live, and we'll be able to actually take comments from everybody as we're talking. So get your carry out on Saturday and give us a wee listen after the game. But I just thanks again for listening. And if anybody at Celtic's got a problem with what we've said, you say that he's wanted to have the opportunity to respond to fan media this season, we would welcome you on at any point to justify what happened tonight. And thanks very much. Good night.